Hi, welcome back to Playing FIFA in Suits. We're here to talk about some Premier League, because that is the league with all the money and the best coaches and the best players. And not the UEFA Champions League or the Europa League or any of the other five major leagues. Anyway, let's talk about the Prem.
Where do we start? I don't want to talk about the title race, because we've been doing this for months now.
Well, I mean, I think it's changed a little bit. Like,
it's tightened.
Yes. Let's just do like 5 minutes on the title race and we can go on to other stuff.
Okay.
So I think for me, I had always assumed City would just like run down, you know, both Arsenal and Liverpool. Like they're closing on like a 400 and they are, just finishing very, very strong. And it doesn't look kind of to be the case. I think that game ahead against Poole, they basically got outplayed. Yeah. And, like they just don't look, I think, as strong as I think you'd expect them to look at this part of the season. Like, to me, the way they finished last season, where they kind of started a little bit iffy, sorted some things out, move Stones into center back midfield kind of role. Mm-hmm. And they just looked like absolutely the best team in the world. I do not think that's the case in this point of the season. I think they probably are the best team in the world. But the gap between them and the kind of chasing pack, is close enough where you can have, basically a team like Arsenal or like Liverpool win the league and not be the best team in the league.
Like last season, leaving when Arsenal were ahead by 8 points, like the underlying stats showed that City were as good, if not better.
Yeah.
And second half of the season, like City, like just zoomed past Arsenal on the underlying stats and then the actual stats, while Arsenal like took a step back. This season, it's about equal. Like,
basically,
about equal. I mean, if you look at the stats, like Liverpool have the best attack in the league, Arsenal have the best defense in the league. City are there or thereabouts in those two categories, but they're not the like runaway best that they have been in previous seasons, and that's just made it like it's. I mean, I still think that City are probably still the odds-on favorites to go on to win this.
Yep.
If they beat Arsenal on the 31st, like that's. That's a massive boost for them, and that just I think they have an easier running than either Arsenal or Liverpool. So like that would put them in a good position. But like, that Liverpool game is boring. Just given how easily Liverpool like cut through them and were able to create chances in the final third. If Luis Diaz was just a bit more clinical,
yep.
that could easily be 3-1 or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And also just how they never looked like they got out of like second gear after like the 30th minute. The Poole were really able to like press them and restrict their kind of forward passing. And then they weren't able to, I think they really missed Grealish in that game like a lot. And just like in terms of like ball progression wise, like he's just great at that. And I mean, he's been injured basically the entire season and Doku only played like half of that game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's still kind of just developing his game, right? I mean, he's like what?
He's also, and to your point about Grealish, he's also more comfortable receiving the ball higher up the pitch,
yeah,
rather than progressing it.
For sure. For sure. And I just go ahead. Sorry.
Now, I was just about to point out that what Liverpool did in that game is that they basically chose to press both Rodri and Stones.
Yep.
Cut out those passing lanes, and they basically like dropped Endo in between the KDB and was it Foden or Bernardo Silva that was playing in midfield?
Bernardo.
Yeah, Bernardo Silva. And it sounds like a high-risk strategy, but they did a pretty good job of like just cutting out those passing lanes after the first like 15, 30 minutes.
Yep, which is why Kovacic came in for De Bruyne. Because Pep was like, yeah, we need to like get control of the midfield and actually be able to move the ball, but like they couldn't really get any shots once Kovacic came in. And they were still getting like, well, not so exposed, I think, at that point, but it was even, basically. Mm-hmm. Once kind of Kovacic came in, and they weren't able to kind of like get the upper hand, and Liverpool were still kind of getting some decent chances. And it was like, yeah, if Diaz has kind of finished those changes he got a little bit earlier in the match, it just, yeah, it just would have been over, like you're kind of talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Liverpool just have no guys right now. Like, they're just pretty injured, and they're rotating a lot, which I think is kind of the reason why you saw them kind of falter against Man U in that cup game mm-hmm. last week. Just Klopp has been rotating like crazy, which I think has been probably good for the team overall. But it just kind of creates some, just discontinuity between the team and the players that you can have results like that, where they really got outplayed by Man U for the entire game.
Yeah, it's more of a personality issue. My when I say personality, I mean like the sort of like player profiles he has in the team, where like they're not necessarily consistent. Like, for instance, moving from Trent to Bradley at right back, or, I mean, that's not really a great example, because they offer different things that, like, and they still play, like, in a relatively similar way. But, for instance, getting rid of Harvey Elliott and putting in Mohamed Salah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, I mean, Salah is great for them, especially, like, just... His passing, I think, has been one of the more underrated parts of Salah's game. Like, he's a great creator. But it just, yeah, it's just, you just changed up the team a lot. And especially, like, if you're trying to have some type of cohesive, like, defensive structure, like, it just changes things. And yeah, that was a big problem for them against Man U.
Yeah, and it was a cock game. Yeah, but I think Man U played better than a lot of people expected them to in that game.
Yes.
Yeah, they kept it relatively close. They were kind of unlucky to go behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was pretty even the first 30 minutes or so. But, I mean, these games happen. I'm still not convinced that United are actually that good.
No.
I
think I was more concerned that Liverpool are not able to dominate the game in the way that I was expecting them to after the City performance, even with the injuries.
Yeah, but they played a lot of football. More games than Arsenal, or I think maybe City might have played just as many, given the fact that they played in the Club World Cup. That's not. I don't really take that competition seriously. And they play in a less they play a less grueling style than Liverpool. They're like, what? This Liverpool team is the most direct Liverpool team we've seen since like Klopp started drifting towards becoming more possession oriented. They are still possession oriented. They still have a lot of the ball.
Yeah.
But they're definitely a lot more vertical than they were last season or the season before.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably true. But I think it also depends on who's playing.
Yeah.
Like, when Szoboszlai and Trent are playing, I think the team just looks a lot different. Mm-hmm. And depending on when, like, if Gakpo or Nunez are in, it also changes things as well, just in terms of, like, their strategy. Because especially when Gakpo's in, it's just like, okay, we're not really going to try to play super direct unless they're, like, unless the opponents are not that good. But mm-hmm. Klopp likes to use him as basically like the Firmino type player and just have him like drop in that kind of between space and link up play.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think you're right. Like, they, especially with Nunez, he's just the chaos agent. They just like to bring out that kind of part of his game, especially when he plays with Diaz on the left. Just kind of getting those guys open in his space is, yeah, it's not something that we'd seen, you know, previously. That's fair. But again, like, the team changes so much from, like, who's in the game or not.
Yeah, it does.
RIP Thiago.
Yeah, and the team, I think the team is still in flux. I think they recruited well this past summer, but there's still like some. How do I put this? I think that there are a lot of good players in there, but it doesn't look like all of those players necessarily fit what Klopp is trying to do that well. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to get at. Like Szoboszlai looks like a Klopp signing. Absolutely. He's the sort of player that Klopp would have in any like team that he manages. Batu Render, you can make that argument for him as well. Curtis Jones, to a certain degree, yes, as well. But I don't know, like Gakpo, for instance, he's always been a weird fit. And that not because he doesn't have talent, it's just like I don't know exactly what he does best in this team, and where if he was to like nail down some sort of like semi-regular role where he should be playing more
I
consistently.
don't think he's that. I think he's kind of a replacement level player where he can fill in a bunch of spots. Because he can, I mean, he plays in midfield, he plays up top, he plays on the left. Like, I think he's kind of like the Milner, but like more attacking
Or joking.
version of that. But I think, again, like you mentioned, Endo and Szoboszlai, like those guys are brand new to the team, brand new to the league. Szoboszlai's missed a bunch of time. I think where you really see it is like defensively, where they've had, a bunch of injuries. Matip out for the year, Trent's missed a bunch of time, Robertson's missed a bunch of time, and they're just really, really thin back there. And I think the attack, I mean, the attack, they have the best attack in the league, right? So that's not a super big issue there. But what I really always talk about for this team, especially this season, is just the control they have over games, where games seem and are just in contest more than I th yeah in contest yeah more than I think that top teams would want. Like usually, like these coaches are kind of maniacs for the level of control they have over games. I think that's what Pep tries to do, that's what Tuchel tries to do. They just try to have this like this level of control, where they minimize their risk, even if it doesn't necessarily produce the most like goals, but it just like strangles the opponent into like submission pretty much. And Liverpool can't really do that consistently. And I thought they've been getting better at it as season has kind of gone on, but I think this kind of goes to your point, is that they've had just all these kind of different pieces they're trying to work together that don't necessarily like fit, like Gravenberg coming into the team, Szoboszlai, McAllister playing as a six instead of an eight, not really having like a backup left back also is not good, and Robertson playing there who doesn't necessarily fit in the system, I think ideally, because he's best going forward and not his best defending. So it's, yeah, it's just kind of like a little bit like mismatch, but Klopp is just kind of making it work, which is really a testament to his management skill. But like I don't think that, I mean, when we picked the teams that like we thought were going to be leading for Champions League places, like we were even, I think, a little bit suspect at the beginning of the season, like to put Liverpool on that list to begin with, because we just weren't sure based on their roster just how they would kind of fit things together. And it's been better than we thought, but it like it's still
I
like
think that's
those.
larger because of Endo. Not largely because, I mean, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but he's been, for a 30-year-old guy coming into the league for his first season, he's been like better than what any Liverpool fan would have hoped. And he's like proven to be one of the better DMs in the league, which is like, given where they were last season with Fabinho's legs, like just completely like going on holiday for eternity, like. That's helpful.
No, but he's also missed some time too, man. Like that's the thing. It's like they're kind of doing it different ways, and he wasn't always like the guaranteed like starter at the six, because they played McAllister there a bunch
For a bit.
at the start of the season, and he still plays there.
Yeah, but it's a different profile. It's CDM for like certain games where you expect Liverpool to have dominate possession. Like his, he's a better passer than Endo. He can build up attacks from deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, I think, I mean, we can go back and, or I guess I could go back and like look at the records of what our predictions were. But yeah, and we had like Man U, I think a little more confidence in kind of their ability. Or maybe not more, but like I think at that same level as Poole to kind of finish top four. And
I guess with them, what's happened is that like Rashford took a massive step back. The defense that was like somewhat laudable last season, especially like Lisandro Martinez, like there've
Yeah.
been a bit of injuries, a few injuries there.
Casemiro missing a bunch of time has just
Yeah,
been,
and regressing
yeah,
too.
that was,
Onana has been, I think he's gotten a lot of stick unfairly
yeah.
of his performances in the Champions League, but he's been one of the better goalkeepers in the league if you look at post shot expected goals differential. But yeah, and Mason Mount just not being a
Existing,
factor
yeah.
has not helped at all.
Yeah.
So
But I think to me it's like we could have picked I think Man U's best lineup to start the season. I don't think we would have been able to pick Liverpool's best starting lineup to start the season. And I think even now it's a little bit like, well, not a little bit. I think you most likely can. But there's a lot of different lineups that team can play, and it just feels, yeah, like a little bit.
I think for Liverpool, the biggest selection dilemmas are like, do you play Jota or do you play Diaz?
I would play Diaz.
But Jota is a better finisher.
Yeah, but if you have Nunez and Salah, like how much extra finishing do you need?
Yeah, and maybe like the midfield three, like do you go for the Swiss Army knife and McAllister, or do you go for a more specialized attacking player and like Elliot or Curtis Jones?
I don't think you'd play Elliot. Curtis Jones, I think, is, I don't know, he's kind of a limited player, but he's great in possession. And I just think for top teams like basically any of like the big six, that type of player is super useful, because he just kind of keeps things rolling in attack and defense if you're gonna try to have some defensive possession. And he contributes enough around the pitch that like he's just, I think it's just better than, he can fit, I think, in more quality starting lineups than Elliot can, just because he's not as like limited defensively as Elliot, and Elliot's attacking numbers aren't like so outstanding that like he's a real like bonus to put on the pitch. And then I don't know, the back line I think is pretty much set when those guys are healthy, but I don't know, man. It's a weird team, man. It's a little bit odd. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Which makes like getting the managerial appointment in the summer like a really big deal.
I am not so nervous about that. I think I was more concerned with like their well, yeah, like what FSG were gonna do in terms of like their kind of more executive positions,
Yeah.
where I think especially now that, and we can talk about this a little bit more, the league has just stepped in a number of times to kind of rein in the level of spending that clubs are making to kind of, I think, make the advantages that like Chelsea had from Abramovich, City have for their investment from Abu Dhabi, just considerably less, and that it's forcing clubs to kind of be more, it's I think
More
it's creating
judicious?
more, go ahead.
More judicious in your spending?
Yeah, more judicious, but I think it's trying to eliminate the trump card that is like irrational spending, And so that means that being a better run business is more important and is more of an advantage than it was in previous eras of the Premier League. And I think Liverpool have been run, I think, very, very well as a business. And bringing back Gardner and getting that other guy from, I think, like Benfica, who's going to be the president of Liverpool. And I don't know, they just seem to be making a lot of, like, I think, very smart, like, decisions to figure out who's going to run the club and who has a track record of, you know, competent player acquisitions, and just like understanding of kind of how to organize teams that I think could really be a massive benefit if this kind of increased involvement from the league in terms of, you know, reining in this kind of spending is going to continue to take place. Does that kind of make sense, I guess?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and I mean, I think they're also building out that structure because, like, Klopp, I mean, it's not to a, I don't know, Sir Alex of Wenger level, but Klopp is sort of consolidated power.
Yeah, definitely.
At Liverpool in his time there, and he's gotten more influential as the longer he's been there. And so, like, for it to work under the new manager, they basically have to build out a footballing structure.
Yeah.
To replace everything like that Klopp did, or like to make it more like in line with what we see elsewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And like this is like a good step, like a first step towards like building that structure that you can like slot in a manager into.
Yeah.
So like prevent the sort of like. So Liverpool wouldn't be set back by Klopp's departure, and like you have to hire someone that fits Klopp's profile, which is more difficult than just building out a footballing structure and like putting in an elite manager to manage the football.
And I don't know if they necessarily need to fit like Klopp's like principles or like.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I think this Liverpool team has enough talent that they can like be. I don't think the style matters too much. I think that whatever style the next manager tries to play, I guess it has to be progressive in some way, shape, or form. Then that manager will be able to do that with the cast of players available at Liverpool.
Yeah, and I mean
enough squad.
Yeah, so I think that to me is the most encouraging thing, and I think. Even because I'm expecting like a fall, because Klopp has been great, like as you know, manager of Liverpool. I don't expect them to also like, you know, continue to challenge for the title like next season, honestly. But I think for me, just like I don't expect a like Sir Alex level of like falling off from Liverpool. Like I still expect them to be, you know, in competition for Champions League places, for major cups. And I think for me, that's just very reassuring, just based on the stuff I've seen from kind of the structure they're putting in place to kind of, replace what they're going to lose with Klopp's, exit from the club. So, yeah. And I think it also helps that like Chelsea are kind of a mess right now. United are, they just have new ownership. And so they're kind of a little bit all over the place. Tottenham lost their best player and, have a little bit of a talent gap, I would say. And Villa are, I don't know, I feel like they're playing a little bit of above their ability right now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the position of like the rest of like these kind of like big clubs, the relative like talent that's still at Liverpool, even though the squad does need to be turned over, it just kind of gives them a lot of, I think, flexibility, even if they do take a step back on field performance, to still be a very, very just quality team over the next like basically 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot on Liverpool.
Yeah. I didn't expect to talk about Liverpool this much.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is kind of odd. Arsenal, do you want to talk about them? I don't know. You guys are just good.
I mean, there isn't really much to say about Arsenal at this point. It's
Havertz. King Kai,
yeah, he's like, people are finally seeing his value like on the ball, which is nice. Off the ball, he's been good all season, frankly. But now he's beginning to chip in with like goal contributions. That's good to see. It's a good sign. But other than that, like, there isn't really much to say about Arsenal. I mean, like, we know that they're good. They just, we'll just have to see how they navigate the final 10 games of the season, plus the Champions League. That matchup against Bayern Munich, which will be interesting.
Do you want to talk about the Champions League now? Arlo, you want to finish on the Prem and then go to the Champions League and Europa League?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk. We can, like, just finish up quickly on the Prem.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to say about Arsenal. Like,
okay.
we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. That's all I have to say.
No, that's fair. Relegation, you want to talk about that? I just think Luton are terrible. Like, they lost.
So I get that Luton are terrible, yes. Yeah. Like, they're not a great team.
Don't even say great. They're not even, like, below average.
Yeah, they are one of the worst promoted teams I've seen in recent memory.
Yes, jokes.
But defensively, they're fun. And also, I think they're well coached. I think Rob Edwards is actually a much better coach than a lot of people giving credit for.
Yeah, the talent is so bad that I think it's a little bit hard for me to say that.
No, I mean, you can see the structure. Like, when I watch Luton play, the structure looks great.
I wouldn't say it looks great.
No, but, like, look, you could, I think, I don't know, just by watching their games, I could tell what Rob Edwards is trying to do.
Same. But I think for me, I don't know if the stuff he's trying to do makes sense for the talent that he has.
That is true. And but that's, also, the talent is not great.
Yeah, I know. So I don't, that's why, like, I would like to see him, like, in a different team, if that, basically, that makes any sense. Like, just a team with, like, a slightly bit better talent. Like, if he was at Palace, I feel like then I could kind of see more of, like, actually how good of a coach he is. Yeah. Just because, I mean, whether it's, yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, I don't know. I think you can definitely see his imprint on the team, the style he wants to play for his club. But it's just so bad that I can't really say that. I mean, they have worse net XG than Burnley, dude. Like, they are conceding tons and tons of chances. They conceded 4 against Bournemouth after being up 3. Like, that was bad, man. Like, you should be able to at least see out a draw from that position. And they just could not do it.
No, and the funny thing is that it could be worse, because their goalkeeper has been one of the better ones in the league this season.
Yeah, man. Where I'm just like, maybe I'm just like, if your talent is terrible, like, just play like Sean Dyche.
I appreciate that he's trying to do what he's doing. He's done it. Okay, if you look at the stats, he's done it worse than Burnley. If you watch the games, it looks aesthetically better than what Burnley's trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are not as many, like, blatant errors made in build-up play or against a press.
And they're decent going forward, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's where you sort of see where the coaching comes in.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the trade-off that he's making, I would just like to, and I think this is kind of an impossible question a little bit for me, is like, what would it look like if you made different trade-offs? If you were a bit more, like, resolute defensively and your attack, you know, suffered, would that change the, like, ultimate calculus for your team? And if he decided
they'll still go down.
Yeah, but, like, would they be closer to survival than would they be right now? That's my question.
I mean, there is a case to be made that they would be, because a lot of their, if I'm not mistaken, they scored a lot of goals from set pieces.
Yeah, but that's,
yeah. And so you don't necessarily, if you're generating a lot of goals that way anyway, then you don't necessarily need to, like,
throw bodies forward and attack.
Throw bodies forward and try to, like, pin in your opponents. in their own final third. Like that Manchester United game, for instance, I mean, United could have won that like by a lot of goals, because they just kept on finding so much space in the final third. And you're like, if you're Rob Edwards, you're like, maybe we should like drop back to cut out these counterattacking opportunities. But he kept on trying to go at it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like maybe he's just like, you know what, we're going to go down. So if we're going to go down, we might as well like try to leave an impression.
Which I respect. But yeah. I think for me, I just want to see him against a different, you know. Well, I would like to see another coach basically coach this team, or him coach another team that has a little more talent, where he could like playing, you know, more open with a little more possession would actually like be beneficial based off the talent you have on a team. So, yeah.
But I think the only reason why we're discussing Luton is that I think they're the only of the three promoted teams that could actually stay up.
Yeah. Sheffield are like...
Sheffield are the worst team I've seen in the Premier League for a long time.
My gosh, so bad.
Yeah, like, have you seen the passing networks for Arsenal against Sheffield United?
I have not.
I need to show you this.
What?
I need to show you this.
Okay, I'll fill space.
It's really, really bad.
Passing networks? How can the passing network be bad? Is it just like a whole bunch of passing inside there, like final third from like even like center backs? Is that what you're saying? Like it's just.
I'm sending it to you right now so you can like see it for yourself, and like. Just see how like absolutely bonkers this is.
Okay, let me pull it up real quick.
Look at the average position for the Arsenal players.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yo, that's basically what I was saying. Is like there's like parked in the Burnley half. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's basically it. Like it was, like they're like just the visuals from this game. I'm gonna send you another one.
What's
just really...
Sheffield's? What's their formation? They just like completely abandoned the left side of the pitch?
I don't know what they were trying to do in that game.
What?
What's this? Yeah, that was one of the most embarrassing games of football I've ever watched. And you had that feeling that Arsenal could have scored 12 if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
But they were like, we're not going to risk injury. We're just going to like see this one out. And like if a team in the same league as you is like basically like taking pity
yeah.
on you and saying like, oh, we're just gonna stop playing now so we wouldn't turn this into an embarrassing situation, then that's bad.
Why is Rice that far forward? What the
I don't know, like they didn't do anything to counter it. So
yeah.
I think he did score in this move, if not mistaken.
Yeah. I will say this about Rice. I think, I don't know, I thought he'd be playing more as a six sitting at the base of midfield, but he's been playing a bunch as more of an eight, and Jorginho playing as a six, I think, has been really effective.
Like, yeah, because Jorginho can pass, and Rice is not a bad passer, but he's not... he's on the scale of, like, Jorginho to Partey. Like, he's worse than those two.
Yeah.
Partey is great because he kind of offers what Rice does, but with better passing.
Yeah.
But better, worse defending.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So I mean that I think has been a real, not necessarily like surprise, but no, I think it's just been a real big difference, especially over the past like 2 months, as you guys have just like blitzed a bunch of teams and put up like. Crazy you know just goal numbers that his level of control from the base of midfield has been super important for that.
Absolutely. Going back to Sheffield, they suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
And Burnley are like
jokes too.
They're jokes. I think they've gotten better in the second half of the season,
but it's like better from terrible. It's like
yeah, it doesn't matter at all. Like they'll go back to the championship and they'll dominate.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I think they're not going to fire Kompany. I think the owners really do have faith in him. So
why does he keep on wearing those hats with suits? I don't get that.
Kendall Roy Sheik.
Jesus, that's not necessarily aspirational. But... Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that was super. I don't know. It was very, because like the managers have different styles, and I don't know like how many managers have like the like suit, jacket, and like casual combination that like Kompany pulls off.
He doesn't pull it off.
Well, that's fair.
No, he like this man could be doing better. he could be if he was like wearing a sweater,
yeah,
and like a nice suit, I'd be like, yeah, fine, yeah, that works.
Or go full tracksuit and the hat.
Tracksuit, don't even try.
Like, yeah.
Like it's sad, like when you wear street clothes and still do it poorly enough.
Yeah.
That like basically turn into a meme.
Pretty much.
He's not really meme, but like he has been memed.
And also he's been set off a bunch.
How many times this season?
I think it's like twice, right?
Huh.
But I know that him and like Arteta and I think there's one other coach have had like the most yellows.
That's interesting. Because you wouldn't, I mean, not saying that Kompany cannot be hot-headed, but you wouldn't think of him in that light, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, I also think, back to Luton, I don't know, man, like, I kind of want them to stay up, too, because I don't like watching Forest play.
Yeah, I mean it's a weird team. I think that they're becoming easier to watch after Nuno took over.
Yeah,
but it's not like Nuno is like a paragon of like progressive football.
No, definitely not.
The team has a bit more structure now. Like I do like the players that they have in the squad, but
I like some of them.
It doesn't come together.
No,
as well as you'd think. And also, they have Gio Reyna. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. Nuno and him have the same agent.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I don't really know why, like, they brought him. Because he's like a backup 10 for Gibbs White. But Gibbs White's pretty good. And they need him. He basically created the only goal they scored. Last week. Was it last week?
Which game was that?
The 1-1 game they had against Luton. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? I can just check.
Must have been last weekend.
Yeah. Because that would...
Because I remember watching that, and I wouldn't have watched that if there were better games in television.
Yeah, it was last week. It was on the 16th. That's funny. They kind of needed to win that game, honestly. But yeah, I don't know. They're just like their squad is just—it's definitely the mercenaries, but it's not like a fun version of the mercenaries.
No.
So yeah, I don't know. It's like. It kind of reminds me of like what I would do in like FM if I wanted like to completely like make over a team and then would like be kind of like terrible for the first year and then like skyrocket up after that. Mm-hmm. But they are in the same position they were last year, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the, even after the deduction, they're only 1 point behind Luton Town.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they will be at least 1 point better than Luton for the rest of the season.
But it's only like what?
Nine games
left, so
yeah, I mean,
maybe not.
They will at least one better than Luton Town for the rest of the season. Like,
what's their goal difference?
Who do they have like up next? They play Crystal Palace next. So like that could be difficult.
They play Tottenham City.
Luton play Tottenham.
Oh,
That's an L.
Yeah.
I mean, but you never know. It's a weird team.
Yeah.
With the high but line. I would say that's probably an L for Luton. For Forest, Crystal Palace, I don't know. That just looks like a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. They play Sheffield and Burnley as, like, two of the last three games for Forest. Like, they should be able to get 3 points from those, or 6 points from those games.
Do Forest play Sheffield and Burnley?
Yeah, they played Sheffield and Burnley. Burnley in the last weekend of the season, Sheffield on the third to last. Like, Sheffield will be relegated by that point. Yeah. Burnley will probably be relegated at that point as well. They should win those games. And I know, like, Luton, don't they have, like, a pretty tough schedule, right?
Just looking at, like, so average, now let me just, from the last game, last day of the season to, like, present, they have Fulham, West Ham, Everton, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Brentford. Yeah, this is not an easy schedule. No. These are all games. Man City,
Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bournemouth. Yeah, like most of these games are L's. Like,
yeah,
I would be surprised if they stay up.
Yeah, they don't play any of the other relegation teams either.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the next, honestly, the next like four games are going to be tough because like Bournemouth are going to be playing hard because they still like want to get some separation, you know, mm-hmm. from them in the bottom, and like they play two title contenders and a team pushing for Champions League places. Like that's, and they play three of those games away.
Yeah, that is.
That's just, yo, that's tough.
But I mean, I think Rob Edwards can come out of this with some credit, more so than the other two relegation managers.
Yeah,
I think Chris Wilder's reputation is shot. Company, I don't know. It's hard to assess Company.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that the Burnley team would be better in the hands of a better manager. Like talent wise, I look at that team play and it just looks like. They don't look terrible. They could probably do it better coaching, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's probably kind of where I'm at. But I'm also like the talent isn't that good either. It's
not that good, but it's better than the other two teams.
Yes, I would say that for sure. They also spent too, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, and they got Sandra Burge from Sheffield United, who's like a Premier League quality midfielder.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of guys that had played in the league before.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the actual top four race then?
I think that the top four race. It's going to be interesting to see who finishes fourth, but that doesn't matter if England's going to get a fifth Champions League place.
Okay, let's go into that then, because that's a good way to just segue into the Champions League like bracket, right? Mm-hmm. So the matchups we have right now for one side of the bracket are Atletico Madrid versus Dortmund, PSG versus Barcelona on one side. The second side is Arsenal and Bayern, which you mentioned earlier, and then Real Madrid City. So for me, that is probably one of the worst case scenarios you can have for these. If you want to have, no one really like roots for leagues to have the different coefficients unless you're like mm-hmm. trying to get to that fifth place. But like ideally, you know, you would not have two of the Premier League teams playing on one side of the bracket and then playing probably the two best teams you could have played on that same side of the bracket.
But the thing is that I think the closest league to England in the coefficient table is Germany.
Yes.
Right. If Arsenal beat Bayern Munich over two legs, and Dortmund are knocked out by Atletico Madrid, and also it's if City also if I manage to navigate the Real Madrid tie, then that should be enough.
No, you're right. Let me just pull up the coefficient rankings because like I want to make sure. I didn't have those up. Okay. Sorry. Oh my gosh. CBS Sports. Why don't you know? Okay, anyway. Sorry, what were you saying? I like was trying to pull up the coefficient numbers while you're talking, but
No, I was just saying that, like, if I'm looking at the 20, is it the 23-24 coefficients? Yeah,
yeah.
so 22-24 coefficients
It's Italy, Germany,
and
England, France.
third. Yeah, so if the two English, if Arsenal beat Bayern Munich and Dortmund is knocked out, then that should be enough to see, I guess. But if Leverkusen win the Europa League, then that, I don't know how exactly how what effect that's going to have on the in the calculations. But
Yeah, and if Liverpool get bounced by Atalanta, like,
yeah, that's that sort of thing.
yeah. Anyway, this is where like actual model would help.
Yeah, I don't know how the coefficients are calculated,
Yeah,
to
same.
be honest. I've never really looked into it.
Yeah, because usually it doesn't really like matter.
Yeah, but it does matter this season
Yeah.
because of the next because of the new format. Yeah. But back to the Champions League. I guess we can just start off at Arsenal Bayern.
Yes, the legendary fixture that
Yeah,
has
that
been the
has.
boon of AFTV for several years.
Yeah, some classic episodes, though I've never watched any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think this, I mean, this is the best Arsenal team you've seen
Ooh.
since 2004, frankly. This is one of the worst Bayern teams we've seen since, I don't know, 2014.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe even the worst. I mean, when I say they're the worst, I mean you tend to think that, oh, they're really bad, but they're still pretty good. Like even by like recent standards, like if they were this good last season, they would have won the league. They would. I think they would have been ahead. I think they're ahead right now of where they were in the league last year. Right, they're doing better than they were in the league last year. It's just that Leverkusen have been incredible.
Yep.
And gone unbeaten. So it's not going to be necessarily easy for Bayern Munich, for Arsenal.
Either team,
But
honestly.
yeah, but the problem that other elite European clubs have when they're up against Premier League opposition is that they're often not used to being bent in the way that other elite Premier League clubs are against other elite teams. I mean, Arsenal have to play City twice a season. They have to play Liverpool twice a season. Like Spurs will give you hell.
Probably more than twice, just with cups.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
yeah.
But with if you're Bayern Munich, you only really have like, depending on whether Dortmund are good,
Which they aren't this year.
and they're not this year. I think Munich have only played two or three legit competitive games this season.
And they've played. Well, I don't know. They faltered against not great opposition like Lazio, like which is
Yeah.
not like a real like competitive or should be a real competitive
I
match.
think they got unlucky in that game and they did rectify it in the second leg.
Yeah, but them playing that poorly, I think, was a little bit concerning. Especially after, because they played like Leverkusen the week before that, right? Yeah, so it was like the Leverkusen game, which they got outplayed in. And then to like follow it up by like a poor performance against Lazio was just like, what are you guys doing?
And for Arsenal, I think the last round sort of showed.
Yeah, Porto.
Yeah, I mean, that's one, like, some people have called that one of the best tactical performances of the season. I tend to agree. They were very good in terms of nullifying what Arsenal did, tried to do. Like,
Yeah.
they like split their center backs and make it harder to like press them. They like played long balls forward and basically like created overloads on different sides of the pitch in order to win the second and third balls. And like they have good enough ball players that like once they get into those positions, they can create chances.
Yeah, I think that was one of the key things for them is that they weren't afraid to have the ball against you guys, that they weren't yeah, afraid of the press and then also afraid to get countered in the
And
same.
Arsenal couldn't really press them because of the way that they were setting up. They weren't
Exactly.
playing from the back.
Yeah. Because I kind of saw some similarities in the Brentford game too.
Yes. Lots of similarities. They did.
Go ahead.
They did the same thing. I think Brentford didn't do it as well, and also they don't have the sort of ball players that Porto have in the final third. So it was not quite the same. But they definitely did play a lot of long balls and like try to win those long balls and create chances in the final third.
And we'll see what Tuchel does, because he's not. I mean, I could see him trying to have more possession. Like, that's just what his style of football is. But he's not necessarily a person who just likes to play long balls.
Yeah, I don't think Bayern are going to change much from their regular approach. They kind of got burned when it did that against Leverkusen.
Well, I just don't think they need to go to a back three. Like,
Yeah.
that didn't work. And they don't have the center back talent, I think, to even have that make sense. Like, you don't need more Eric Dier. But again, like, I'm actually very curious to see, like, who, like, what the possession numbers look like for this tie, and how much of the ball are Bayern gonna have,
Yeah,
because I
I
think.
remember when Bayern played City last year, like they weren't bad.
No, they weren't.
They were fine between the boxes. I think it looked even to my eye between the boxes against City. But City were just better in the final third, and they just couldn't create like great chances against them. That was it. And also defensive errors from Upamecano.
Also, I don't know. I'm also thinking of, like, Tuchel being basically like a lame duck coach. It's a little odd, man. Like, I think Bayern just are at a so weird place in their season where they basically can't win the Bundesliga. I mean, they can technically, but it's kind of a wrap. And I don't know, just like having a coach you know is gonna get fired is just kind of an odd place to be in. So that's one thing I don't really know how to, like, really account for. Because I think that does matter, like, just your level of just like sharpness, attentiveness, and like cohesiveness within like a squad.
Yeah,
Just
it does matter, and also like you can't make the argument that they can just focus on the Champions League now because you need to be sharp week in, week out. And that's where a team like Arsenal could have the advantage because they are like competing on both fronts. At least for now, we'll see what happens after the 31st.
So I actually don't know who's gonna win this game. Like,
Yeah.
I would pick Arsenal, I think, like, 7 times out of 10. Like,
But
it's
there's a lot that like, but Bayern could hurt Arsenal. Like, and
oh.
Arsenal are not proven at this. We know that they're very good, but they've done it in the league and not in Europe yet. And I think that like the Porto game is sort of a baptism of fire. You could tell that like the players were not necessarily didn't you could tell that they didn't have that much experience at that level of European competition. Just the I mean people always talk about the game on the continent being a bit different than the domestic game, like in terms of like how it's officiated, in terms of like what the refs allow you to get away with. And it looked like it was a bit new to like a guy like Declan Rice and or like Bukayo Saka, for instance.
I think Saka's also just had like a slight dip in form over the past like 3 weeks. Which is this happens sometimes. And
Yeah, it happens, but I mean, just given like how we've seen both teams play this season, you'd have to give Arsenal the edge, but.
yeah, for sure.
Bayern Munich are just a lot more experienced at this stage of the competition. That counts for something.
But I kind of
So,
feel like they're gonna self-destruct. That's kind of where I'm at. Which, I
yeah.
mean, again, like.
My concern for Bayern is that the defense and the cover they have in midfield
Not great.
is not great. Like I don't know. Like Eric Dier at center back does not is not. Does not like inspire confidence. Pavlovic has not been terrible, but if Pavlovic Who, to be honest, he's not going to be like a superstar moving forward. Like, I know he's 19 and that sounds mean to say, but like, he's just filling the gap right now simply because like Tuchel wants to have a six and there is no natural six in this Bayern team. Against an elite attack, it's going to be tough. But Bayern also have an elite attack. And in a knockout game, like if you have Harry Kane and Leroy Sané is like playing well, and you have Musiala as well, then like get a few chances and put them away, and you could be on your way to the semifinals. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. I'm looking at the analyst odds for both of these teams, and they're sitting at about like 10% to win the competition, both of them. So that means they're basically pretty even, in terms of their overall levels. So I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching this game, honestly, more than anything. Like, it's a proper like Champions League tie. There's history here. A bunch of storylines, should be good football, teams that actually like want to play good football as well. Like, I think it should be a good game. Move on to the City
Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid.
It's also one that like there's a narrative there. Like,
yeah,
you saw what happened last year in the semis, where like City like played probably the best game I've seen them ever play under Guardiola.
Yep. Kyle Walker's probably best game as a City player. And
they just made Real Madrid look like I don't know, like a relegation-bound Premier League team. It was...
Damn, that's pretty harsh.
No, they did. They looked bad.
Yeah, they did look bad. They did look bad.
Southampton a few weeks before that, and I thought Southampton looked better than Real Madrid did in that game.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. But like, I think that Ancelotti has learned from that experience.
Yeah.
I think that they're not going to be as overmatched in midfield as they were in that game.
Yeah, it's because the City team is worse in midfield.
Considering the fact that the City team is worse.
Yeah.
And the fact that Real Madrid have like recruited they have Bellingham now. They look a lot more robust in midfield than they did at this time last year.
Yeah.
They just started to phase out Modric and Kroos without like completely like
tanking their team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or just like remanding them to the bench. Yeah. They still play well in this team.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
their center backs though is my concern.
That is a problem. They haven't been exposed in La Liga.
Yeah.
Like, playing Tchouaméni and Carvajal at center back is not a recipe for success. No. And Man City are going to expose that if they like put out that those players. But I think they're going to have some of their injured players back by then.
Yeah, but it's tough to like jump right into playing against City.
It is.
Like, that's a lot to ask. That's like basically, I mean, this will probably be the most high leverage game they'll have two games they'll have of the year. Because, I mean, Arsenal and Bayern are both very good, but City defending champions, you know, like, best team in the world, I think, by consensus. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that City are probably the favorites in this one.
Yep.
It's hard to look beyond them. But they're just worse this season than they were last season. Real Madrid are perhaps slightly better than they were last season. Yeah, but I don't know if that's enough to like bridge the gap. I still think Real Madrid sometimes are a bit over reliant on Vinicius,
especially because they don't have a nine. Well, they do have a nine, but he's on the bench.
Yeah, they play Hossolu sometimes.
Hossolu is nice.
He's a good player, but he's not He's not been a great fit, but he's been a good fit.
I feel like he's a player that, well, I guess, yeah, like 15 years ago would be starting.
Ching.
Sorry, go ahead.
He's like the Spanish Choupo-Moting.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing to be.
No, I mean, I think it's a little better than Choupo-Moting.
Yeah,
But
fair
man,
enough.
that's hard. I
That's
mean,
not harsh. Like, Choupo-Moting is a player that I rate.
no, he's pretty good. But I don't. Yeah, I'm not gonna debate Choupo-Moting Chris Hulsalu. That's not what this pod is about. Like, but no, I don't know. To me, it's like it's just tough because there's just the level of competition is like so high, where you they can't even like afford to play like a somewhat like or just like an above average player. You have to be like excellent in your position to like even get on the pitch in these like Champions League ties where, you know, in previous iterations of Champions League football, like saying like 15 years ago, like you could just have kind of like above average players play like key positions and key minutes for you and like still be considered a very, very good team. And you just can't do that now. Which is kind of insane.
Yeah, and I think just there's a lot more talent around the continent. Even though the Premier League like tends to dominate in terms of like resources and means to acquire that talent, I still think that like some teams around the continent are still able to like remain somewhat competitive in these games, even if they might have to do so from a position of weakness rather than strength. And Real Madrid have been like one of the better
More flexible.
non-English teams at like managing this area, this era of English like financial dominance by like altering their recruitment strategy and like reaping success with that new recruitment strategy in a way that like many other teams like can only dream of, right?
Yeah,
With
Barcelona.
yeah, like
It's like you say many, you just said Barcelona could only dream
yeah,
of. You
exactly.
could just said
Like
that.
Vinicius, they bought him for 40, was it 40 something million as a
Something like
17 year
that.
old? And he's like paid off, I would say, even more. Rodrigo, similar story there. Like found him at 100 million.
It's like a bargain.
He looks like a bargain. They bought Tchouaméni for 80 million. Like they've been some question marks about him so far, but I think he's been relatively good
No, I mean,
for them.
they've rebuilt their team and rebuilt their stadium,
Yeah.
all while managing like basically a period of COVID loss as well, which is kind of really impressive. And the other team in Spain has done the exact opposite.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue to like the PSG Barcelona game, which I think PSG are probably going to win.
I maybe. I
So,
actually don't know who I would pick in this game, honestly. I really don't know.
yeah, I think it's more. I was being a bit dismissive of Barcelona. They looked relatively good against Napoli, although Napoli have been shit this season. But they can look like a competent football team at times.
Oh,
I'm just
absolutely.
not sure. Sorry?
Said absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how good they are. And that's the issue had at Barcelona for like a few seasons now. I think they definitely have some really talented players like further up the pitch.
But
The
not
defense.
that talented,
One of
though.
the best goalkeepers in the world in Ter Stegen. Araujo is one of the best, better center backs in European football as well. But I don't know. It's
Honestly,
just a weird mishmash of talent.
no, I think you're right. And they've had some injuries like Pedri, you know, just being in and out of the lineup. Gavi tearing his ACL was actually a pretty big loss. And then I don't think their attacking talent is that good.
Like giving Lamine Yamal a lot of minutes,
Yes.
and that's concerning,
He's played
not because he's not
1500
good.
in the league already.
Yeah, but he's like what, 16, 17?
He's
And
16 and like a half, basically.
yeah, this guy's playing like grown man minutes. That's good for his football and dedication, but bad for the line. Like, just given what's happened to Pedri in the last few seasons, like that should be a cautionary tale. You don't want to overload those guys earlier on. But
Yeah.
not like Rafinha's given them like much of an alternative with this form. He hasn't been bad, but he's also probably not producing at the level which they'll want him to, just given the fact that like Lewandowski is perhaps not being as prolific as he was last season. And they just left like sort of grasping at straws, looking elsewhere at, around the team for production. And like Yamal is providing some production, so like he's meriting this place in the team, but
It's like 16 years old, man, and
yeah.
producing at actually great levels, honestly. But it's just not good enough, I think, for me to have that level of confidence, or enough confidence in their team. But I will say, for me, it's also kind of a similar story for Paris, because I mean, well, a guy who's played for Barcelona, Dembele, has just. I don't know, man. It just he has some games where he looks like, okay, I can see why this was one of the best like rated teenagers basically ever to play the game, and you've got that massive move from Barcelona and has been in the French national team as well. But he'll just have like periods either of injury or just like malaise where he just looks like, okay, this guy isn't that good. And Mbappe has been great. They've played him more as a striker. As a sole striker more often,
Yeah, with playing on the wing.
which I think has improved their squad. They've also been playing, I don't know, I mean, I think their midfield's gotten a little bit better. Like, I think them not playing Emery as much has helped a little bit, and giving Fabian Ruiz more minutes, just because I think gives him a little more like heft in midfield,
Yes. See, he's
which,
6'2".
yeah, like he's big guy. And playing him with Ugarte and like Fabian Ruiz is still able. He's good enough on the ball, to like not, really hamper them offensively. And I just think that matters, when you get to, some of the better teams you're gonna play against, because like their passing in midfield isn't like excellent enough where they have that level of control over games. And they, because you can be small and like still be a great tackler. Or you'll be really solid defensively, but like Vitinha and Emery are just not those guys. And their defense is also kind of like,
Yeah, it's heavy on personalities, but I think it's always looked a bit suspect to me.
like the organization is not great.
Like they're individually really good players, like Lucas Hernandez, Marquinhos, it's Hakimi. I think Nuno Mendes is still injured, if I'm not mistaken, last time I
I
checked.
think that's right.
Yeah.
But
And they have Skriniar as well. Skriniar, did you play Lucas Hernandez on the left at left back? So yeah, I mean it's. I think if you look at, I think the difference between PSG and Barcelona is Mbappe. And just given how like seriously he seems to be taking Champions League this season, just given it's going to be his last, and given what he's done to Barcelona in the past, I think that they have a lot of reason to be scared.
I'm cool with that.
I don't think that they would have that much success in containing him. Exactly. So, like, and that's why I think probably gonna win this one. PSG.
Yeah, I could see that happening. But they also, I feel like they could. I think they could also win a shootout. I think versus Paris. Yeah, Barcelona.
Yeah, but can they get there? That's the thing.
Maybe. I think that's probably their best option. Even if it means they get knocked out in this round. Because, like you say, they're not going to be able to stop Mbappe. It's just not going to happen with their defensive talent. But you can definitely break down Paris.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's probably enough on them. We finished probably the worst tie for last. Dortmund Atletico.
I think Atleti probably wins.
Yeah, Dortmund are not good.
Yeah, it's not that Dortmund are not good for me. It's just like Atletico are also not good. You probably saw that Barcelona game last week. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the worst performance in the season.
Yeah, I kind of threw that one out because, well, Griezmann didn't start and
they rotated the team a bit.
Yeah. And I think for me, when Griezmann doesn't start for them, they just like look like a whole different team. And I think just the exertion it took to beat Inter is like one of those, like, it was like a hangover game, I think, for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like Barcelona were way more up for it than Atletico were. And you can just look like trash sometimes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but Borussia Dortmund, like, I don't know, having Sandro helps. He looks like he's approaching something nearing his best.
Yeah.
That's a positive for them, for him. But I don't know. I look around the team and I didn't really see that many points of optimism. And like, as just a savvy veteran Atletico Madrid team should be able to get this done in two legs.
Yeah, I think so. Even though, like you said, the Atletico team is, I mean, they're definitely not like of the recent vintage of Atletico. Like, they're not as dominant defensively as like those like prime Simeone teams were. They are better offensively, but I think they're just, they should be able to kind of dispatch.
Yeah, they should have enough to get this done.
Okay, that's probably it for Champions League. I don't want to go into like some semifinal matchups yet, like just predictions, because just wait for the games to happen. And I think next time we'll probably pod, we'll most likely have some results for those. We can talk about those, the ties in the quarters, which will be fun. Because, yeah, I mean, we've kind of gone over. It's like, I don't know. Like, this is probably the best 2 weeks of football you'll probably see all season.
That is true.
Yeah.
Like this stretch over the next.
Yeah, basically.
That's for a semi stretch, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, I think once you get to the semis, like, you can even have good matchups, but sometimes you can just get, like, a real overmatched opponent. And that doesn't look like it'll happen necessarily this time around.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get the same, like, variety of styles or just teams that you get in the quarters. Because just fewer teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to these next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Europa League?
Nah.
Yeah, that's fair.
I thought about it for a second. And I don't want to talk about, analyze Leverkusen versus West Ham.
The only thing I'd say about that is if Leverkusen lose to West Ham, this is a massive indictment on the Bundesliga.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, if like, go the entire season unbeaten,
yeah,
and then you get, like, ripped to shreds 5-0 by West Ham, like, playing, like, very negative counterattacking football, then, like, it's going to be a bad look.
Because West Ham, this is definitely not a good West Ham team. Like,
I mean, I think the position on the table kind of deceives people, but West Ham are one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, they should. They're like,
Yeah, and that's not me like hating on West Ham. It's just like what the expected goals differential table says.
Yeah,
I think they're 17th or 16th. So last time I checked. But yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, that would also not be good for Xabi's like coaching case. So we'll see, but if they make it past that round, I think even if they lose to like Milan or Roma, that's like more respectable. Mm-hmm. But I guess, yeah, it's big couple weeks for Italian football, I guess, because they don't have anybody in the Champions League anymore. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about the Europa League, really.
No. I have not really watched Benfica at all, and Marseille are kind of a mess, honestly.
Benfica are like kind of messy this season. It's a weird team. I don't know. And Marseille, no, they. The funniest thing about Marseille is that they hired Cote d'Ivoire's coach. Like,
Oh, they did?
got fired at AFCON.
Oh my God.
And they've gone on a winning run since.
Okay.
And
Aubameyang, bro, also has
Aubameyang
been
is like
great.
a reborn player.
Yeah. Shout out to man, I kind of feel bad for him, bro. Like, he is one of the greatest strikers of his generation and has like basically like no major
No major
accolade.
honors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean Golden Boot, I guess, in the Premier League, but
I'd say that about Harry Kane as well.
well, I think he's gonna get something at Bayern at some
Yeah,
point.
eventually.
But Aubameyang basically, I mean, he saved you guys pretty much.
He did. He did.
Yeah. Or
Yeah.
saved Arteta at least.
To some extent.
Yeah. And then Arteta was like, "Nah, you're gone." It's cold world, man. But yeah, I would like to see him get like a winner's medal of some significance, because I think he's won the FA Cup with you guys, right? Yeah,
The FA Cup,
yeah.
but and that you could argue that that's a major honor, but like league titles and the continental medals probably matter more.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't keep track of who wins the FA Cup like year to year. And I mean, even Europa League, I think, is just,
Europa League is a legit competition. I think that it's like. They can make an argument this season that the potential final could be better than the potential Champions League final.
Yeah, I tried to make this argument in our group chat and I got shut down.
You got, yeah. I was like, I looked at it and I was like, I'm not gonna get involved.
Oh my gosh, dude. But not, I mean, Liverpool are one of the three best teams in the world. Leverkusen are probably like top five, top six. And yeah, neither of those teams are in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So,
And they're probably going to look different next year, so it's
yeah. Einstein was, I mean, we get more football. That's cool. More good football.
I respect the Europa League. It's a better competition than a lot of people give it credit for in
Yeah,
the stages.
for sure. And to me, it's just, I feel like we get a lot of the same teams in the Champions League over and over again. I feel like Europa League, you get a little more like variety. So it's, yeah, basically the hipster competition, if that word still exists.
Absolutely.
Okay. Man, let's go Milan also, because I don't know. Like, it's also my team, so I gotta root for them too. So, a Milan Liverpool final. Let's go.
I wouldn't watch that.
Yo, why not?
Finish nil nil and go to penalties.
Yeah,
I
but you could.
guarantee you that that's what's going to happen.
But you could like bring out like Crespo and like Dida, and like you could bring Xabi back and like Gerrard to watch the game, because it's not like he's really coaching very well.
Yeah.
So, from a legend's point of view and like storyline, great. Where's the final taking place? If it takes place in Istanbul, that would be like perfect.
Let me look that up. Is taking place in. Wait, where is this? Oh, no, it's taking place in
Dublin.
Dublin. Like, that's why.
I don't know why they're doing that.
Interesting location, though.
Okay, anyway, that's not really important. Shoutouts. Who do you got?
Shout out to the NWSL. The league started last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great competition. I think they recently signed a media deal with ESPN, so you're going to see more NWSL games on national television, which is great for the league and its exposure.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that it's like sort of fallen behind, not fallen behind, but it's like the European leagues sort of started to catch up, because for a time it was the preeminent league in women's football.
Yeah.
But it's still a fun league. It's still one of the elite ones in the world, top five.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, this season's going to be great. Like, I didn't notice this, but Oshuala, as he does Oshuala, left Barcelona and signed for Bay FC, the new NWSL franchise.
I did not know that.
So, that's great. Looking forward to watching her. Sure, in the U.S.
Trading the Barcelona colors. Let me look at the Bay FC uniforms, though, real quick. Because this could be important. It's not looking good.
No, there are very few good NFL jerseys out there. Like, I was looking at potentially getting a Washington Spirit jersey.
Yeah.
But, nah.
Oh, these are some terrible kits.
Yeah. The Washington Spirit's shirt sponsor is CBS. What? I don't want to buy a shirt.
CBS?
CBS.
Not even Paramount? Is it just CBS?
No, CVS.
Oh, CVS. Oh. Of course. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I feel like the pharmacy as a sponsor is not.
No, it's odd.
Nah, it's got to be like some like. What are the best sponsors? I always like the
banking sponsors are respectable.
Yeah,
banking, airline, some time consumer goods.
Yeah, no, because like, remember when Man U had the Chevrolet jersey or look or sponsor? I didn't like those.
No, that was bad. Good.
Yeah,
I don't know, but like the Chevy logo is just terrible. Yeah. I did like the Wolfsburg jerseys with the VW logo.
That was good.
Yeah, those were nice.
Or I liked when North City had the Lotus.
Yeah,
those were good.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I always like the Carlsberg with Liverpool classic sponsor. Yeah, I don't mind like the brewing company sponsors. Those are always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But not the pharmacy.
Yeah, there are a lot of health related sponsors.
Uber Eats.
Oh God, that one's a problem.
Yeah. Not great.
Uber Eats.
Yeah. Okay, that's but no, these jerseys are actually really bad. Like the colors are pretty uninspiring, and it's like just black and white as their colors. It's like,
yeah.
Ooh. It's unfortunate. For the Bay, man, this is the colors they have for the Bay. Ooh.
Yeah, for San Francisco Bay Area.
It's like, are they playing on Alcatraz, bro? Like,
what? Shit. Honestly, like, I don't know who designed this logo, but they fucked up. Like, it is not like, it looks like the sort of thing that you design in Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, I was gonna say like FIFA 09 when you can design those like kits. Yeah. For your My Career teams.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks bad. Like, yeah. And that's a problem, like, league-wide. Like, look at, like, other than Angel City FC and maybe the Portland Thorns, I can't think of any other teams that have, like, a solid visual identity. And the San Diego Wave are also pretty good. But other than those ones, it's all, like, hit or miss.
Yeah, I don't really like Gotham FC. Also, I don't like how Gotham FC are called NYC New Jersey. Like,
Yeah, it's like the
It's
Metro Stars all over again. Why?
ridiculous. I don't know why they do that. Yes, also I don't like the kind of like turquoise color for New York teams. Like I don't like the Liberty colors.
No, they're not great.
Yeah, it just looks like I don't know. It's a kind of an odd choice of color. Let me check out the Spirit jerseys because I actually haven't seen these in a minute.
It's,
Ooh.
yeah, it's not good.
What is this yellow? I thought this was like a training penny. And the CVS logo is like too big, too.
it's not like, it just looks odd.
Can't they get like a MasterCard sponsor or something like this? Like
Like financial services, like
something, bro. Goodness gracious.
putting CVS in our shirts, like still better than Walgreens though. Like
Yeah,
I'll
that's
rather
disgusting.
wear a CVS a jersey with CVS on it than a jersey with Walgreens on it, but
I think it could be. There's stuff to work with here, though. Like, but you just gotta have better. Better. There's no red, blue, or green. Like, I feel like DC teams always have like some type of like, or not red, blue, and green. Red, blue, or white.
yeah.
Like American flag type
You have
colors.
some like sort of cherry blossom shout out.
Something.
Like, come on.
For a
It's
team
like
named after the Spirit, these jerseys are not very inspiring.
looks like they just took a template jersey and like
Smacked it on there.
yeah.
I would not be surprised by that, though. I feel like the level of investment in women's football is a little bit. It leaves a lot to be desired, so I can see Nike, whoever designed this, just being like, yeah, sure, I'll give you like the base template.
Just cutting corners here and there.
Yeah, pretty much, which is unfortunate. Because, I mean, that's part of the most fun thing about like football is like the kits, man. Anyway, that was a pretty big tangent. Yeah, man, I'm just thinking of like, sorry, the European teams and their jerseys is just like so much better, man.
Yeah, they're nicer.
Yeah, sponsors are more legit too. Like, it's just. Yeah.
I guess it has a lot to do with the fact that, like, with the European most large European women's teams these days are sort of, I wouldn't say bankrolled, but they're like part of a larger like sporting family that also includes the more established men teams. So there's a lot of like cross-pollination in terms of like sponsorships and stuff like that.
Also, some of these names are kind of wild.
Yeah.
Like, they're more like concepts.
I mean, yeah, the North Carolina Courage is like probably the worst in my opinion.
Yeah.
Orlando Pride is weird. It's the Chicago Red Stars. Like, I don't know where that comes from. I guess that must have some deeper meaning. The Kansas City Current is like one of my least favorite like team names of all
Yeah,
time.
that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I like the Portland Thorns though. That's a good name, I think, for a team.
Yeah, I like the Thorns. I think, like I said earlier, I think the Thorns have one of the better, like, name logo jersey combinations in the league.
Yeah. No, that's actually very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're actually no, this is a shadow. We can do whatever we want here. Like, it doesn't matter. Okay. Is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, fair enough. I'll send my shout out to the NCAA tournament. NCAA tournament. It's kind of ongoing right now. I don't know. This is one of the first times in a while that like I realized like how bad some of the basketball is. Like, I was watching the Florida, who are they playing? Colorado game yesterday, and some guy tried to throw an alley-oop to his teammate, and it was like way far off, and like he tried to lay it up, but he missed it and like slammed it against the backboard, and I was just like, what are these guys doing? This is just like,
This is
yeah.
don't watch college basketball. I think
Yes.
women's college basketball is more respectable because it's actually closer to the women's pro game.
Yeah.
So there are fewer scrubs, but men's side, yeah.
Well, I think once you get to a certain level,
Once,
because
yeah, once you get to like the Elite Eight
yeah.
level, yeah, and then you just like it's basically people that are going to be playing in WNBA.
Or at least could like make teams.
Yes,
Yeah,
exactly.
because the
Yeah,
WNBA is crazy turnover.
for the NCAA tournament on the men's side, like even at the Elite Eight level, like there's some like potential NBA studs,
But no.
and there are some guys that would never make it in Europe.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. For sure. So I'm actually really looking forward to the women's tournament to really get going as we get into the later rounds. And I'm really liking that. What is it? Are they playing? What bracket is Iowa and LSU? I don't know what region they're in.
can't remember.
Yeah, but I really hope those two teams match up. Looking forward to the LSU, I think UCLA game that's gonna happen soon. And yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like all the more intriguing players are on the women's side. I don't really know many of the men's players. It's just kind of like tournament basketball is on, so it's kind of fun. You can see like these, because I mean, these are like basically kids playing or young adults, and they're not that good, and they have like these really like wide swings of performance. So you can have like these massive like just upsets, disappointments. Like in Maryland's game they played yesterday, they were up like 20 points at one point and still lost, which I was not happy about. But yeah, like that to me is just entertaining. And just the level of I don't know, just like just chaos the tournament brings is like fun to watch. So yeah. What? That's basically what it is. It's just like, okay, we're gonna like
Yeah,
have.
I was laughing at something else. So like,
Oh.
apparently France is playing Germany now, and Florian Wirtz scored in like 7 seconds.
7 seconds.
Yeah. Also, the playing Wirtz and Musiala in the same team. Praise be.
Well, I'm still kind of annoyed. Can we like send like I don't want to be like a total hater, but Germany switching from Adidas to Nike is just like against football heritage.
No, that's bad. Like,
Yeah, it's so like
I don't know, someone at Adidas must have screwed this up really badly for
yeah.
that reason. Yeah.
Like I just assume that that was like a lifetime partnership.
Yeah, it's like,
That like as long as Adidas or Germany as a country existed, that would be their sponsor.
and if it's not Adidas, then it's maybe Puma, which is
Yeah.
all like,
So I don't even know if I don't even really want to see those jerseys, honestly. I just hope like they switch it up and like realize it's kind of done, honestly. But like I can't really imagine like them not having the three stripes on their jerseys.
no, it's unconscionable.
Yeah.
But some messed up, and that's where we are right now.
Also, I feel like Nike always does a bad job with the US men's and women's kits.
Yeah, but they have no competition.
Under Armour?
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Like, also, I think they've scaled back their football
Yeah,
business.
they definitely have.
Yeah, I think they made a push around what, 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
They've never really made that much traction.
New Balance.
I wouldn't mind a New
Yeah,
Balance
actually.
jersey. Yeah,
Considering how bad Nike has been, like I.
I think they've done a really good job of trying to improve their street cred in the last couple of years,
Yeah,
kind of slowly.
I don't think their kits have been that good, but just their sneakers have been really impressive. So if they can translate even a little bit of that onto their kit design, be impressive. And I don't mind Sevilla's kits. They're New Balance, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, those are fine. Just some of those Liverpool ones are oof, ghastly.
Yeah.
But also, Nike has not done a good job of Liverpool's kits
Fire
either.
redesign one.
Like, go ahead.
Did they make fire-breathing dragon? No, that was a Warrior cape.
Yeah,
No,
that was a Warrior.
that was a dark time for Liverpool. And
Don't remind me, bro.
so
It's not good. Not good. Okay, anyway, that's been Playing FIFA in Suits. Peace.